This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
With the second overall pick in the 2025 MLB draft, the Los Angeles Angels, which makes the number one overall pick, the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's right. The Nats got the number one pick. Ethan Holliday, brother of Jackson Holliday, son of Matt Holliday, projected 1-1. High school sensation. Come on down. I am steamed up right now.
Unless they go under slot.
Do whatever they want to do. They got the most bonus
pool. That's true. They got the most.
This is a huge hook to the rebuild.
This is nice.
This is big. As deflating as the early part of this offseason has been, as they're not really being linked to any of the A-listers,
mm-hmm.
Today was a really good day. What did Ice Cube say?
Today was a good day.
He said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Today, that's a direct quote.
Was a really good day. We're going to reach out and see if we can get someone from the winter meetings on who was a part of the event for the Nationals. Matt Adams, by the way, whatever dinner you want in town, you just tell your guy where you're going to be. I'll Venmo you. I will let you know what's off the menu. What is not in the budget?
Maybe don't get the surf and turf unless we get a couple more Venmos in there. But yeah,
send him. I'm telling you, the Wizards should send him to the
Wizards.
Lottery.
Hear me, send him. It's a great bit. Get on board with it.
They're gonna have the best or second best chance, maybe probably the best chance to get Cooper Flagg in the same year. Let's draft 1-1 in baseball and in basketball.
That would be fun.
Why not?
That'd be fun.
Let's go to the guest hotline. Welcome onto the show, our buddy Patrick Stevens. Nobody smarter when it comes to college sports. Always love chopping it up with him. He is on social media. D1 scores. It's like discourse with a one for the eye. Patrick, good to talk to you. How are you, buddy?
I am well, fellas. How are you?
You know, man, that we're going to come bothering you when college sports are in the news. And with the big development this week being college football playoff seeding in the Heisman, we wanted to get you on for a few minutes. So first thing first, SMU in, two-loss team over, three-loss Alabama. That was a sticking point for a lot of folks. Did you have any issue with that?
No issue, really. Like, if you're Alabama, if you want to be in the playoff, don't go and score 3 points against a 6-6 Oklahoma team. Like, it's really that simple. Go win that game. It's not as if, when you look at it, that they had three losses to really, really good teams. They lost to 2 6-6 teams, and they lost to Tennessee. So lose to 1 6-6 team, and you're almost certainly in the field instead. So, you know, we didn't see a two-loss team get into the original four-team playoff at all. You know, you expand it to 12, and the only three-loss team that you saw got in was an automatic qualifier in Clemson. It seems to me that, you know, figuring out a way to keep yourself the two losses, especially two losses that aren't particularly damaging, is probably the pathway to getting yourself into the playoff at this point.
All right, so two-parter here, Patrick. Part one, Oregon is the favorite, yes?
Given that nobody else has beaten them, yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, so after Oregon, who's the second most likely team to proverbially cut down the nets here?
It might still be Texas, even with the loss to Georgia. I mean, they're on the other half of the bracket, right? So that probably helps them out a little bit. You start going much further down the board than that, and you have questions. I mean, you talk about Georgia. You know, do they have a quarterback for the playoff? How good is Penn State, really? I mean, who's the best team they beat? Illinois, probably. Do you trust Ohio State to do anything? I mean, who did Notre Dame beat over the course of this season? Who, you know, besides Alabama, did Tennessee beat this season? I mean, there's a lot of teams in that field that, you know, yeah, they've got good records, but you're sitting there kind of wondering, like, who exactly did you beat along the way? So, you know, it might be Texas and it might be Georgia. I mean, the Georgia defense might just be good enough to go win, you know, three games in a row by itself, just kind of in a 17-10-ish kind of way. But beyond Oregon, it's probably one of those two teams, Texas or Georgia, that you'd probably think would have the next best shot.
Patrick, why don't they reseed to the point that you're making? So, like, Oregon gets potentially Ohio State right away, whereas Boise State might get SMU, or Arizona State may well be playing, like, Clemson. I mean, it's ridiculous to me.
Well, you know, do you reseed in the NCAA tournament? Do you reseed? I mean, we could sit here and go through that, right?
Don't you think only having 12 teams, like, there's got to be a way to make the regular season matter more. It doesn't college football's regular season theoretically matter more than any other sports? And I get now we have a playoff, so that waters it down some. But there's got to be a happy medium somewhere, right?
Well, I think first off, some of this was kind of trial by error in some way. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole playoff thing has basically been, let's take the money, and then let's figure out all the other stuff after we've agreed to take the money, right? Like, that's sort of the whole foundation of the whole thing. So I suspect that there's probably going to be some revisiting of various things. You know full well that at this stage in the development of college sports, that both the SEC and the Big Ten are going to try to lord it over everybody else. You've already heard the various, well, these leagues deserve 3 automatic berths or 4 automatic berths. And so, you know, to have one year of this probably will eventually, maybe not next year, but certainly create conversations as to, you know, how do you make this satisfy the people that have, you know, the largest say essentially in all of this, the ones that demand or command the most money. So wouldn't be surprised if that got reevaluated. Ultimately, though, I think you're sitting there talking about the regular season mattering. Like, the way that it matters in the playoff bracketing is that you have 4 conference champions that ultimately end up getting byes into the quarterfinals. Now, let's go ahead and see if that ultimately matters at all, or if the team that, you know, has that month-long layoff by the time they get to New Year's Day, or almost month-long layoff, whether they're sharp or not. Lots of questions that still have to be sorted out as this thing heads into, you know, whatever it's going to ultimately be as they enter this 12-team Brave New World.
Patrick Stevens with us here on G&D. So you kind of alluded to this, but I want to hammer down on it. Another two-parter for me. Who got screwed here? Like, who just got a raw deal, and who maybe got a little bit of a hookup?
I don't think anybody did. Like, I mean, I would say the same thing to Mississippi or to South Carolina or whoever you want to bring up. You know, don't lose 3 games. I mean, there's never been a time in college football where losing 3 games gave you a shot at a national title. So you can reasonably say that even being in the conversation is such a different thing right now as opposed to at any other point in sports history. You know, did SMU catch a little bit of a break? Maybe it did. You know, I think it's sort of interesting as we're sitting here talking about money and buying things and whatnot, that SMU basically bought its way into the ACC by saying, nah, we won't take any of your TV money for the next 9 years. And as a result, they got at least enough of a bump to put themselves in a position, you know, to at least be considered as an at-large team. If they were in the American and had lost the American title game to Army, let's say, SMU would not be in this conversation right now. So I think ultimately, I don't really have huge issues with any of these folks. And certainly, you know, it's hilarious to me kind of watching partisans of certain leagues just assume that they've got the best product in the world. I mean, let's face it. Like, if you've been watching SEC football this year, like, Georgia's good, but Georgia isn't as good as it's been the last few years. Alabama's clearly not as good as it's been the last few years. Mississippi's not as good as it was last year. Missouri's not as good as it was last year. I mean, we can run down the list. Oklahoma's not as good as it's been. I don't even know if this Texas team is as good as last year's Texas team was that made the playoff. So, you know, I think some of it comes down to acknowledging, hey, you know, things kind of go in cycles a little bit. Sometimes you have a collection of great teams. Sometimes you don't. Throw LSU into that mix too, by the way. They clearly weren't as good without Jaden Daniels. So, you know, I think, you know, the brand probably has people fired up and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I mean, I just don't think the product was as good as it's been in recent years.
Well said. Patrick Stevens, college sports for Washington Post, at D1 Scores Discourse on Twitter and social media. Let's get to the Heisman. We found out last night, I don't think there was any surprise here, but Oregon's Dylan Gabriel, Colorado's Travis Hunter, Boise State's Ashton Gentry, and Miami's Cam Ward are going to take part in the Heisman Trophy ceremony coming up this week. First of all, how do you see those four guys in the pecking order? And do you think this will be close, or is Travis Hunter decidedly going to edge out Ashton Gentry?
Yeah, I mean, first off, let's go ahead and acknowledge that Cam Ward had a great season, but I think he's pretty clearly the fourth banana here. After his team lost twice in the last three or four weeks of the season, Dylan Gabriel is your classic Heisman candidate, the best player on the best team theory, and that has ruled the day so often over the last, you know, 30, 35 years or so. But I agree with you that it's probably going to come down to Hunter and Gentry. You know, what's your preference? Do you want a guy that is basically challenging Barry Sanders' single season rushing record and has played every game and has not had a bad game all season and has led his team to the playoff berth? Or do you want the unicorn, the guy that plays both ways, had some really thrilling moments, had a couple games where he was a complete non-factor, and, you know, played on a team that got better and certainly got plenty of attention in part because of who his coach was. I suspect, you know, that with the hype machine, that Hunter ultimately wins this, and it probably isn't as close as it should be. You know, I have a fondness for somebody that just goes out and runs for 180 yards week in and week out and basically carries a team the way that Gentry carried Boise State. But both of them would be fine selections, and both of them would go very much against the type of who is selected as a Heisman winner. You know, you do not see guys that make their name on defense win the Heisman very often. You do not see a scenario where a guy that's a receiver wins very often. It happens from time to time. And you certainly don't see a guy outside of Power Conference win the Heisman. I believe the last one to do so was Ty Detmer back in 1990. So it, one way or the other, it will be a more unconventional Heisman winner, I suspect, than what we are accustomed to, unless there is just a lot of people that choose the best player on the best team, which has been known to happen in the past.
Patrick, awesome with us, buddy. Really appreciate the time here on a Tuesday. Thanks.
Awesome. Take care.
Patrick Stevens on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I said this yesterday when you were out, and I still feel this way. I think that when the college football playoffs dust settles here and we crown a champion, we're all going to be thrilled with how it went. We're going to say we should have been doing this forever. That said, it's flawed, and it's better than nothing.
Yeah,
we got some work to do. We're going to iron out some details here, but I do hope they continue to tweak it.
100%. There's no perfect way to do it, to your point. It can never be like the basketball tournament, which I do think is as close to perfect as anything we have in sports, and I mean that. It's that frantic weekend, then break, weekend, then break, weekend, then break, and you whittle it down from 64 still, but you know what I mean, 68 with the plus two, all the way down to the Final Four and then the champion on Big Monday. That's perfect because it's like a fortnight and then it's over and it's amazing. This is kind of that, like, it's sort of a bowl game, but it's kind of not, and it's 12. It's not quite right yet, but it's better than it was. It's better. Again, I'll never forget when two teams that were the top couple of teams in the country, they wouldn't play each other. They would have bowl games on the opposite side and voters just sort of voted and were like, sometimes these two teams will just split it. It's way better now than it was.
Let's go to the guest hotline right now for a little surprise visit. From the man of the hour in D.C. sports, you know him as a 2019 World Series champion and hero of the Washington Nationals, but he is, I think, upgraded his herodom.
Legend?
He has added to his resume. I believe we've got Matt Adams joining us from the winter meetings.
That's Matt Adams.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's Matt Adams.
The good luck show. The man that gave you the number one pick. So the way this works is...
How you guys doing?
Every team sends a former player to the draft lottery, and they sit there and they wait to basically hear the announcement. And Matt Adams was the rep for the Nats, and he secured the number one pick with his hard work, his sweat, his blood, his effort. So what did you do the whole time?
Sat up there and tried to look my best and bring the Nationals organization luck, and ended up being able to do that.
I mean,
I don't know about the good. Yeah, I don't know about the good looking part, but definitely brought the organization some luck, and super excited for the fan base and the organization to be able to celebrate this moment, and just really looking forward to the 2025 draft.
We're not just saying this because we were watching and you're on with us right now. You did look sharp, dude. Like, the beard was manicured, hair was on point. You looked like very calm. Like, what do they have you do? Like, they kind of like shuffle you guys around and then just sort of, okay, sit there while we all talk about this stuff. Like, what are you guys doing while all the ping pong balls, whatever it is happening?
Yeah, no, they literally told us, hey, you're just going to sit up there in front of, your team's logo, look pretty, and that's it. So, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot that, the guys up on stage were doing. Guys next to me, we were kind of, talking quietly. But, like, ultimately, we were just sitting up there with bright lights in our face and cameras and just, hoping to bring the luck. And, I'm happy that ended up, falling the Nationals' way.
Do you actually have anything like a lucky coin or rabbit's foot or something that you brought with you? Or was it way less formal than that?
No, I mean, it was way less formal. Actually, I wasn't even, I literally found out at 2:30 this afternoon whenever I passed Rizzo and Mark Schlaba in the hallway of the winter meetings. And they were like, hey, you want to represent us for the draft lottery? So I literally found out a few hours before we were going live that I was going to be sitting up on stage. So I'm here at the winter meetings trying to network and try to get myself a coaching gig after retiring, and ran into some familiar faces, and they asked me to do this, and I was super honored and proud to do that, and brought the organization some luck.
It's really cool. Matt Adams joins us here on G&D. What's that process like, by the way? Like, as a guy with such a good playing career like you had and some unbelievable highs, it's now like you're like one of us schlubs having to go network again. What's that about?
No, I'm really enjoying what the future may hold for this next chapter, and thought no better way to get in front of some people and network and than the winter meetings. So just got myself to Dallas and made some contacts and had some meetings and we'll see what the future holds.
You had no plans to do it previously.
Isn't that amazing?
That is
no, absolutely zero plans to do this, but maybe that was the luck involved. Maybe, not knowing that I was doing this and just going up there and, looking my best and representing the Nationals. Maybe that's all I needed to do.
I mean, but this video, I don't think being hyperbolic, like, this will be showed for decades. I mean, this is such a big deal for the organization. It'll be the third time ever that they got 1-1. The previous two were Strasburg.
Those guys
and
are pretty good. Yeah.
And this is an all-time moment for the Nats.
Yeah, I mean, huge, huge moment for the organization. And, really, really, they do great work of, scouting and, doing their homework and making sure they get the right person for that number one overall slot. And, the last two times, I think that choice panned out for both those guys, so and the Nationals per se. So hopefully the luck continues and they do their homework and they make the smart choice and pick somebody that can really get in the organization quickly and rise to the big leagues and help the organization out.
Matt Adams hit 20 bombs for the 2019 Nationals at 118 homers in his big league career. He represented the Nationals at the draft lottery today as they climbed up the board and stunned everybody by getting the number one overall pick. He was the good luck charm. Did they tell you anything, or maybe was your curiosity piqued where you asked the question of, like, so when do I have to start sweating? Like, in terms of the earliest they could have picked, the lowest they could have picked, or did you have any details, or were you kind of flying blind?
No, I was definitely flying blind. They told me to make sure that I didn't get the 18th overall pick because I would have been kicked off stage. So thank God that that didn't happen, and we went from one end of the spectrum to the right end of the spectrum, and with that number one pick. So super excited again for the organization and what that draft pick may hold.
As you kind of reflect on this happened to me. I'm much older than you, even Matt, but like they're going to draft somebody that's like half your age. Isn't that the weirdest thing to think about? You know what I mean? Like your big league career, you did so much, and it's like here comes some teenager that just got his driver's license, and that's the guy. How weird is that?
I mean, to even on a funnier note than that, the kid that's projected to go first overall, I grew up, with him in the clubhouse. Ethan Holiday played with his dad a long time with the Cardinals. So I mean, I was around him when he was just a little baby. Him and Jackson coming into the clubhouse, you know, hitting BP out on the field when we were done. And it just, you know, to be able to, you know, have that name possibly represent the, you know, the Nationals organization would be kind of a full circle moment.
How old was Ethan then? That's so funny to think about, because obviously we've been talking about him on the show as, you know, it's way far out and who knows what they do, but he's the projected top player in the draft. I mean, known him when he was a toddler probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be 18 years old now, like senior in high school. That would have been, you know, 12. I mean, he was 5-6 years old.
Unreal.
Like a little munchkin out there on the field, hitting balls better than probably I did in BP at the time. So it was pretty cool for the organization and, you know, obviously that family with the baseball background that they have. So.
So just real quick, I can't let you get away with that. You're a BP monster, dude. Don't pretend that you weren't upper tanking all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I had my days where, you know, I would put on a pretty good show, but thank God that most of the time that translated into the game when my name was called. So, but just, yeah, I mean, reflecting on my career, just super grateful for, you know, obviously all the years, but especially, you know, that 18, 19 years bringing that championship back to DC for the first time ever. That was pretty special.
What did Rizzo say to you? It looked like he wanted to kiss you.
Yeah, I would. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I looked that good. But no, he just gave me a hug and said congratulations and thanks for representing us and.
He owes you. Now, like, what are you? It's either the best bottle of champagne. Yeah. What is that? Is that Dom? Or
I don't know.
Or just the nicest dinner that you've ever had in your life.
Here's your steak, there, Matt. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, outside of champagne and a steak dinner, you know, maybe an opportunity to come work for
there
the organization and be able to, you know, give back to the next wave of generational talent at the big league level. Like, you know, who knows what the future may hold, but you know, bringing that number one to the organization, that definitely carries some weight with it.
Dude, that is so cool.
Good luck to you.
Seriously, man.
I want to see you coaching and in the game for a long, long time. But seriously, that was quite a moment. We were watching live on the show. I already have no voice because I had a head cold for the last couple of weeks. And so they get the number one pick, and I start screaming, but I'm like half high pitch because I have no voice. I mean, it was what a moment. That was great.
No, yeah, that was a great moment, and just, you know, super grateful to be able to represent an organization like the Nationals.
Matt, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it, dude. And great job. You got to make this a consulting business where you just go win lotteries.
Well, I was going to say the Wizards are the worst team in the NBA, and they're going to be in the lottery. I got to be honest, we really need Cooper Flagg. Are you available to represent the Wizards possibly at the NBA draft lottery?
Yeah, I mean, make a call. Maybe we'll make this a thing. And but I think right now I'm going to call my wife and tell her to go get a lottery ticket.
Maybe
bring some good luck that way.
Yeah, Mega Millions is up over 600, dude. You know what I mean? Can you hit buy for me on my app?
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Matt.
If I hit buy for you on the app, I'm going to need a cut of that for
Done.
Sure.
We appreciate you, brother. Be good.
Thank you, pal.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right, you got it. Matt Adams on Grant and Danny on the Fin. What an accomplishment for the Nationals.
That was cool.
To get the number one overall pick.
Good dude, man. He's one of those dudes, you know, glue guy I think is so cliche. But you remember that 2019 run, that remember how hilarious he was after game two in Houston? The story we've told after the fact, you got to go back and find it. I don't want to, you know, blow it up again. But so funny. Just one of those like all-time hilarious grinder team guys where, you know, at other places he's getting 400 or 500 at-bats and moved to kind of a secondary role. He got 20 home runs, as you pointed out, for the 2019 team. Was basically a 2 or 3 at-bat guy in the entire postseason run and was as much celebrating as everybody else. You know, just a team guy.
I didn't connect those dots until he mentioned it. And I'm mad
with the Cardinals.
But Matt Holliday's teammate, Matt Adams, who's in the clubhouse with little baby and toddler Ethan Holliday, gets them the number one pick that could become Ethan Holliday. That is one of those baseball bro moments. Like, sports are the absolute best. What a day. Who knew? The Nationals, the number one pick. Very, very cool. We started the day telling you there was a lot going on in D.C. sports. It only got better. If you missed Barry Sferluga or Austin Eckler on the show, you can go to thefandc.com and listen to any part of this broadcast. We are back at 2 o'clock tomorrow for Darris and Ryan behind the scenes. Grant and Danny saying so long. Thanks for listening to The Fan.
Thank you for coming.